Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Camp Guys podcast. Again, I'm Jay Oliver, the executive director here at Crowder's Camps, and I'm glad you're able to join us today for this podcast. It's going to be real and very informative, the information we're going to be talking about. First and foremost, do some housekeeping. If you have a question about camp ministry, we'd love for you to send that to podcast at crowderswithascampswithas.com. We'd love to have any questions you might have, or, hey, talk about this, or, hey, I want to come on your show and talk about this with you. We'd love to have you. So we want to be a resource to camps that don't have the resource. And so hopefully as you're tuning into this, this has been encouraging to you, whether you're on a plane or in a car or just sitting in the office. Thanks for listening to the Camp Guys podcast. Today, we have Miss Kayla Mason Oliver. I did say that correctly. Yes, it's my daughter-in-law. She is incredible. She is a fantastic young lady, and she does something that nobody else does with our camp ministry. She helps with our fundraising efforts. So we're going to be talking today about fundraising, about grants, that process. And I know many of you guys in camp ministry, number one, if you're not the executive director or fundraising person, don't tune out, because I promise you we're going to have some nuggets for you too. Just because every one of us, we're about making money, right? Not making money, but getting money to do ministry. Without money, you can't move ministry. So, yeah. Kayla, if you start from the very beginning, which you did,
yes.
You know, you went to first of all, a little background. She married my son, which I'm very well pleased that you're taking care of my son. He's not just going to flounder out there in the world. But you went to Appalachian State University.
Yes. So I went to Appalachian. I graduated in May of 2023 there. But before I graduated, I did an internship up there with a nonprofit that's located in the Boone area. I was a social work major and I was a social work intern. But I did do a little bit of fundraising with them. They had a couple of big events planned, their big fundraising events. So I got to see that firsthand. I got to help on that firsthand. And I learned a lot through that, and I kind of brought that here, and I graduated on a Friday in May. I started here the next Monday May. So quick turnaround, but I started immediately on that job title here.
Yeah, and it's something about that experience in Boone really sparked a passion in you for fundraising.
Yeah, I honestly, like in the social work classes, fundraising is just like everybody talks down on it. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody hates grant writing. Like, that is just a common thing. We had so many speakers come into our classes and they just did not want to have any part of grant writing. They said that they had somebody else on their staff. They weren't touching that. And it was just very much like not talked about a ton in my classes. I was a nonprofit minor.
Yeah.
So that is kind of where I started exploring that. And so when it came to our last semester and we had to look for an internship, I had actually already helped out at an event, like a fundraising event, their big gala of the year. Prior to my internship, I did that during my nonprofit classes time. So I really enjoyed it. That was the side that they don't really talk about during school. So to see it firsthand, I really enjoyed it. I liked going out and making the relationships and speaking to people, as well as hearing their stories and how we were able to impact them during fundraising. So I really, really enjoyed that there. And when I started my social work internship, they were planning for their big, they did a golf tournament and a silent auction and a banquet with that. So that was like their big event that they were planning. So at the very end of the semester, right before I graduated, I worked the entire semester on that and I got to finish it. Wow. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, I want to do this. I really enjoy this.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the first key of finding someone to do some grant writing and things like that, is finding somebody with a passion for it.
Yeah.
You know, and not afraid to ask something from someone. It's not what we want from that person, it's what we want for that person.
Yeah.
But, you know, to join the partnership. The partnership.
Yeah.
For everybody listening, maybe they don't have that person. What do you think the aspects are for somebody to have a passion for like grant writing? You know,
I feel that first of all, you have to like writing. I feel like that's a good start. You don't necessarily have to be the best writer in the world, because a lot of these grants, they're not looking for like extremely well-written stories. They're not looking for extremely well-written, I guess you would say, like, the best punctuation there ever is. Like, obviously, that is important. But really what they're looking for is the passion. They're looking for the passion and the story behind it. So I feel like that's obviously a very good place to start, that you do have to have somebody that does have a passion for writing, which I really did enjoy that. So I was like, oh, this lets me do it, but like in a real world aspect. So I feel like that's a good one. You also, too, have to have somebody that's, I guess, comfortable with speaking to people. So I guess in a sense, you do have to be kind of outgoing, because sometimes, especially when you start it, it is kind of awkward at first to make that ask if you've never done it. Or if you don't exactly know how to do it. I remember one of the first times I did an ask was, it was at my internship prior. And we were walking like the streets of Boone, and we were asking, like, we were going in local businesses and asking for them to do donations in either like in kind, which is like donating a gift, a service, something like that, or a monetary donation, because we were doing whole sponsorships at the golf tournament. At first, it's really awkward, especially when you just don't really know what to do. You've never really seen it. So I remember I rode with the person that was doing, like, that was mainly over that prior to this. And I just kind of observed that whole day. But when I finally started doing it, first, it's kind of awkward. You feel like you're not doing it right. But you just have to be open to talk to people, and you have to be comfortable with telling your story, what that is, no matter where you're working at. So, for example, one of the ones here that we ask about often is scholarships, because a large majority of our fundraising does go to scholarships. Last summer we funded
247
kids to come to camp. So it was a huge, large number. And I worked the year before that for that. We also do a fundraiser each year called the Shoots. So that also went in it, but a lot of it was grant writing and donations. So you just have to be comfortable with telling the story. You have to know what you're telling.
I think that goes both ways, because just the other day I went to a place for some therapy on my back, and I was telling the person up front, you know, what I did and all that. And she offered, hey, if you guys are doing a fundraiser, I would love to give some gift cards.
You know,
so I think everybody on your team has to be in fundraising.
Especially in the nonprofit world.
So you can't just be like, hey, Kayla, you're solely in charge of fundraising. No, that's not the way the nonprofit world works. All of us are in it to give to people for them to be a part of our partnership. I think one cool thing you said there is, you know, okay, you got to be okay at writing, pretty decent at writing. What have you narrowed down for Crowder's Camps as our story? Because it's about a story. Every grant you submit, every person you ask, it's about telling a story for them to be a part of our partnership. But what do we do? So you've almost been here 2 years now. Next month will be two years. So in that 2 years, how have you narrowed down our story to kind of, and I know it's per request, right? Some people might be asking for, might give to capital or this, but
I think the main thing regarding like if any kind of donation is that we are just like a people business. Like we want to be able to serve our community. We're in Gaston County, so we really want to connect with Gaston County, but we also want to connect beyond Gaston County. And so I think that's the main thing of like, we're in a people business, and our main goal is to see lives changed, first of all, but also to get that kid that might not be able to experience camp with maybe like without financial assistance, or to get a kid that can financially afford it, but may not, you know, see camp in that way. So I think that's mine, like, first and foremost, that we are in the business of, like, I don't want to say life change, but we're in the business of life change. And I feel like that being in a, saying that we are like in the people business is my main thing. Of course, I shape that for a little bit more detail per what they're asking. But I think that's first and foremost, that we ultimately want to see people come to our camp. We want to see life change. And also too, not even that aspect, but sometimes like kids don't even have the opportunity to really go play outside.
That's true.
And we do that here. Like, I just think of kids camp, and I remember the first year of kids camp I worked as a photographer there. And then I also worked with, just some of the kids, like as like a floater essentially. And I remember this one kid, and it was his first week. And he just, the first day I was like, how was your day? And he was like, I want to go home. I miss video games. I want to go play video video games. I don't want to sit here anymore. I was like, okay, well, maybe you'll enjoy it the rest of the week. He came back most every single week. Yeah. By the end of the summer, he was leading half the kids, like in games and dancing and all of that kind of stuff.
It's life change.
Yeah. And what is that? 3 or 4 years later? And then now he's at our adventure camp. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just like that we do life change, not even in the aspect of only just spiritual, but as in like, he found a love for the outdoors that he didn't even know he had.
Amazing. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's a book called The Anxious Generation. I'm actually going to give it to you after I read it. It might take me 2 or 3 years to read it.
That's okay. I'll be ready.
I know you can read a 200-page book in 2 days.
Yeah.
She's like my wife. But there's a book. If you guys ever done anything with Nine Square on the air, in the air, this is a commercial for them, I guess. They should have been a sponsor of this thing. But they sent out an email, if you're on their list, and basically said the guy wrote this book called The Anxious Generation. And basically since COVID, mm-hmm. you know, how have kids become more anxious? And or the anxiety generation, I think. It might be the anxiety generation. But I can't wait to read it because what you just said, you know, of this kid, the kids come in, they're always inside, they want to just play video games. And how camp just expands. So how have we been able to show that we're a faith-based organization, but also that life changes in several different ways? Like I've always said, life changes in faith, mm-hmm. but leadership, friendships, mm-hmm. and morals.
Yes.
Okay, so morals to me is a huge bridge to the gap of the organizations that's not necessarily looking for a faith-based gift.
Yeah.
But yet they know that, hey, we're going to hopefully teach kids to get a job and not steal.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we as Crowder's Camp help? I don't want to make this sound bad because we are a faith-based organization, but not everything we put out
says,
hey, it's about the Trinity and Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, everything we do is about Jesus, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we've even kind of modified our mission statement, our half mission statement, that we ignite sparks of hope,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of sparks of I got to go through it in my mind. I think it was ignite sparks of the gospel of Jesus Christ to impact this generation now and beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
So we changed that to hope because really a relationship with Jesus, any type of spiritual change is hope.
Yeah.
It's igniting that spark of hope.
Mm-hmm.
But hope also goes into morals.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how we, you know, okay, we're sending this to Walmart.
Right.
And Walmart necessarily is not going to give to a faith-based organization. So mm-hmm. how do you kind of help mold that?
So I feel like also too, morals goes in with like relationship, like it all kind of intertwines together. I feel like all of our activities here, for example, the Leap of Faith is breaking down barriers.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they climb up to the top of the Leap of Faith and they jump off, that's not something they typically would get to do in their everyday at home life. And I feel like the whole premise behind everything we do here is breaking down barriers in one way or another.
Yeah.
And I feel like also too, with morals comes into play, like we just really... we want to set up the kids that might not necessarily have the best home life and they might not necessarily have seen the best things. And when they're here, we want to love on them, but we also want to show them what, I guess we know it as in like a godly background, but they might not necessarily know it in that way. So I think the whole premise of everything we do is to break down barriers one way or another. And that could be morally, that could be in faith, that could be in relationships and friendships, because I feel like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like when you walk through the walls, you would say, of our campus, it's, our main goal is to break down barriers in one way or another.
Yeah.
And also too, we don't only just see faith-based organizations here. We see a lot of schools. We see a lot of, we'll see like businesses that come in and they do, I guess what would be called like leadership days. Where they're like the bonding days, that kind of team building is the word I'm looking for. So we see kind of a lot of aspects of people, and that's the main goal in all of them. We want them to come here. We want them to bond with those around them, whether that be in their community or beyond. And I feel like that ties in morally.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. That's such a good answer. So you got we have grants that we apply for. Mm-hmm. We have donors that we solicit. Hey, we got this project here. Can mm-hmm. you? We're not too good on the donor side mm-hmm. Because we started 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Some of you camps listening, you're the 16th executive director, you know, of the camp, and it's been around for mm-hmm. 60 years. That's a lot of donors mm-hmm. that's come through because, you know, they graduated, go to college, they yeah. become lawyers, and they remember their life was changed at Camp Cucatuana, mm-hmm. and then they start giving back to that camp. I think I got a snicker out of everybody in the room. Hopefully you laugh too. But we're young, you know, this is our 11th year being in existence. So we're just now starting to see parents start to contribute and things like that because of, you know, it meant something to their kid. This year we're doing an event, No Ask event. I want you to just kind of tell everybody about the No Ask event and your vision behind that. Mm-hmm. Because again, we are a very small donor base. We've had two or three folks in our history that's given hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That's really getting it. And that was driven off of really honestly a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, you know, somebody seeing the vision and coming in and writing a check, it's only been few and far between. So tell us your vision on this event that you came up with.
Yeah. So first and foremost, before I get on the event, as he was mentioning, we are kind of getting into the age of like, we are only 10 years old. And so me, for example, I was the first intern here. It was one of the first years, and I'm only 23. So it's like at the time, I think I was, I guess, 14.
11.
I guess I was 14 at the time, 10 years, 23, yeah. 13, 14 at the time. And so a lot of us have not really aged back and been in the position to come back and be able to give yet, because a lot of the people are still in college or a lot of the people are just getting established in their career. So it's like, I feel like a lot of donors, you know, are people older, not older adults, but just adults that are, you know, they've worked, they're ready to get back in their life. And that's not necessarily always the case, but I feel like we, being 10 years old, we're not necessarily at that yet. So going into the event, so it's called our community open house. And what we're going to do is, first and foremost, I really want us to connect with Gaston County, just because that's where we're at. I feel like that's a great start. So at this event, we're just kind of opening it up. I've invited a bunch of people around the county. So is Jay, and just a lot of our other staff members have, just because we want people to come and learn about us. But first and foremost, you can't really ask somebody to give if they know nothing about you, because why would they?
And this is everybody, business people, bankers, church folks, parents. I mean, we're trying to get as many people to this open house, and we're tagging. I've tagged my invite to people. Hey, this is a no ask.
Yeah.
Because normally when the executive director calls you, they're going to ask you for something, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to bring that wall down and just say, hey, I want to fill you full of vision of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that then if the Lord grabs your heart and says, hey, write a $10,000 check, then that happens.
Yeah. Because the whole goal of this is for people to learn more about us, not necessarily for us to get to make them a donor, or not necessarily for us to get money out of them. So what we're doing is we're just opening our house. We're having a few, some food and things like that provided. We'll do a short presentation and really just a time to us to network within our community. As well as like another thing that we're really looking forward to is, like, I guess, partnerships as well. So this is a good time for us to be able to do that, to connect within the community. And then, like you said, one day if they do decide that they would like to make a donation here, they know a little bit more about us, and they would be more apt to do that. Because really, with us being 10 years old, there's still people even around that live 5 minutes away from here that's like, I didn't even know that place was here.
Yeah.
And so we really want to bridge that gap and make sure that people, one, do know we are here, but also, two, know that we're not just a camp facility. We do so much more than that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So as somebody that looks at grants and things like that now, what do you think is new for 2025 mm-hmm. on how do we keep let's just say donors
mm-hmm.
connected to what we're doing yearly? Mm-hmm. You know, is it still a monthly newsletter? Where's kind of your heart and your ideas went to of how do we tell people what we're doing? And this No Ask event's great, you know. That's a great start, and right now we got close, a little over 30 mm-hmm. Something that's RSVP, which mm-hmm. is cool, you know, because most people don't do that. So I'm hoping we have close to 50 at this event next week. But what is your vision of what's the new things, right? Because you said you're 23 years old, mm-hmm. you got a fresh vision, you definitely got passion for what we do here. So how do we, what's new? What's something new?
I think in the future going forward, I would really like to host more events, because it's one thing to get an email. It's one thing to get something in the mail. Not to say that that's bad, but I feel like people can't really see what you're doing unless they're actually there seeing what you're doing. Mm. So I know they probably talked about it quite a few times, but the fact that we're building a new camp, I would love to host an event for that to show people that, hey, we are expanding. We are doing things. We are reaching kids in this way. And not just kids, we reach adults too. But that we are expanding in this way. So I think going forward, I would really like to, especially as we grow, it's kind of hard in the beginning where you don't really have, a lot of people don't know who you are and you don't really have a lot of donors. It's kind of hard to host an event. But as we make relationships with those in our community, and not even just in our community, but beyond, I would love to host more events. For us to be able to show in person, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're working for, and then your support, whether that be money, whether that just be like support,
your time, your volunteer,
all of that. This is what we're doing, and we really appreciate you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I love it. I love it. So let's talk about totals. Let's talk about totals. So you've been here a little over, right at 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and we have a thing here at Crowder's Camps, and I really recommend it. I mean, it's not about being about money. It's about being about value. Mm-hmm. And so my value is a little over $1 million probably dollars here and there, some, mm-hmm. probably more than that. If you count up all 10 years, that was just 1 year
mm-hmm.
Total of just like sales and things like that. So what we're talking about is, if I booked a group that's been here X amount of years, that value comes into me.
That's on, yeah.
So you started 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and just fundraising wise, how much have you calculated that you've helped bring into the organization?
I just recently calculated this number. I cannot remember off the top of my head, but I want to say it was like 80 or 90 thousand.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, around that way.
She just secured a 3-year, $25,000 per year scholarship grant,
mm-hmm, which we're going to be able to use on so many kids. Oh, which I'm really
so
excited
many
about
kids.
That. Yeah,
so many kids. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what your camp's process is for scholarshiping. We have a process.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit about how we kind of vet those things?
So I've been bringing it up a little bit. So let me just kind of go in a little bit detail. So basically, we mainly our scholarships. So at our Crowder's Ridge campus, most of the time the scholarships don't even reach us because they go to the church level or the group level before they come here, just because, you know, that's where the relationships are made.
Mm-hmm.
Where our scholarships mainly go is at our Crowder Springs campus. So that's for kindergarten camp, which is pre-K going into, really pre-K and kindergarten, but we even do going into first grade. Our kids day camp, which is first through sixth, and then our adventure camp, which is middle school and high school. So basically, if someone needs a scholarship, we have a website where they can go on there, and I think it's just crowderscamps.com/scholarships. So they can go on there, or if they don't know how to find that, they can call or email in, and I will assist with that. So basically, they go through an application, and we would just get, like, you know, their basic information, as well as we ask a few questions on it. Some of the questions are you unable to afford camp at a regular rate, or are you on food stamps or things like that, just to kind of gauge a little bit more of like where their financial status is. And then also too, we have like a free open spot, so they can kind of share as much as they want to or as little as they want to about it.
So that's when you get into the stories of I'm a single parent.
Yes. And that, I will be honest, this year I've seen a lot of ones that have came in of single mothers. Yeah. That's been a very big.
How many have you seen so far?
Scholarships this year.
Just guessing.
I think we've probably seen maybe 100 people or so apply so far this year. And some of those are even just like multiple children households. Some of those are just single kid households. But we've probably seen, I would say, over 100 asks. And so
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So we've seen pretty much a good bit come through. And so basically, after they do that, we'll sit and we'll review them. Sometimes we'll have a little extra questions of as in like if a lot of information was not provided and we're just like, we want a little bit of clarity on this. But then we send them their acceptance, or if they didn't get accepted, we send them that too.
I got a little point right quick.
Yeah.
Y'all probably just heard me say, I didn't even know that. That's why it's very important to put somebody in this position that you trust, that can make good logical decisions, can kind of see through the red tape, and you do an incredible job at that.
Thank you.
And so I'm so thankful that I have somebody. Sorry.
He's a crier sometimes.
It means a lot to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It means a lot to me. I mean, can you? I can't imagine 800 applications just coming sitting on my desk. Hey, I need you. I mean, excuse me, not 100, yeah. 100 applications just sitting on my desk saying, hey, you need to go through these and decide who's going to do scholarship.
Yeah.
Whatever. You do an incredible job with that, and that's a great vetting.
Yeah. So normally I try to keep them. It doesn't always say like that just because we do get a large amount come in, but I do try to keep at 2 or 3 weeks they hear by then. We try to help as many as we can. So even if it's like a decline, sometimes we can go in and we can at least give them partial from that. But we try to do it because also too, at the end of the day, like it is an emotional thing. Like sitting there reading those sometimes, like it is emotional because I'm just like, wow, like they're really going through this. Yeah. So we try to reach as many as we can. And normally what I do, so to finish this, application, I tell them that they have kind of like a 2 week span to kind of let me know, just because if they're not going to accept it, then we can go ahead and give that to another child. But we're willing to work with them on that. That if they're like, hey, we need a little bit more time, that's completely fine. Just let me know.
Now, do we still do the $50?
Yes. So a couple of years ago, one issue that we ran into was, this was before I was on scholarships, but the person that was on it at the time, I know this was something that they were struggling with. So we kind of really took it and thought about it for the next year. But we would see people that would say that they needed a scholarship. They would get granted a full scholarship, and then they wouldn't show up, and it would take away from another kid that we couldn't give a scholarship to. Yeah. So what I do now, and again, this is why I'm like, we can take as much time as we need to. We do give a lot of full scholarships, but what they have to do is they have to pay a $50 deposit. That's just so that we know that they're serious, that they're coming. And then as soon as their kid checks into camp, we refund it. So it is a full scholarship. They do get that back. But that's just a way for us to track to see if they are serious, that they're coming, just because we want to be able to give that to another child if they're not going to show up.
Wow, your camp's awesome.
So we try to track it, and I put it all in a spreadsheet, and I kind of send it to the team at the end of the summer.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us listening on, we might be thinking, well, why don't you just keep the $50? Because they need the $50 for groceries.
Yeah.
You know? And so just setting everybody up that's listening, Crowder, we have two camps. Crowder's Ridge is the moneymaker. Crowder's Ridge is more group-based. We do 5 of our own program camps. This summer, the rest of it, we're renting out to very, very large churches to do their own camps. Most of them have been with us for over 7-10 years of loyalty. And then Crowder Springs was started because we had no more room to do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So day camp literally started with a metal shell building, and adventure camp started with one tent on the ground. And now they're totally have tent platforms and this nice bathhouse, and the kids camp's kicking. So really, Crowder Springs to me at this phase is how we can continue to still do ministry.
Yeah.
And that's where all these scholarships are poured out. Again, Crowder's Ridge is more group-based, so that's where the local church you mentioned earlier, the local church would say, hey, we'll scholarship you, but they're still paying us the full price. And they really don't ever come back to us and say, hey, we scholarship 6 kids. Can you guys help us?
Normally, it doesn't come to us. So normally at the point we really don't ever get asked.
So our big outreach, so we're a nonprofit organization that has an outreach inside the organization, because we're really truly giving away camp for these younger elementary kids at Crowder Springs.
Yeah.
Now starting, this is April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day, by the way.
Yes, happy April Fool's Day.
This is not, we don't have any jokes on here, but starting next week, we're going to begin the grading for our overnight camp at Crowder Springs, and we'll be booking that to groups as well. And then hopefully we'll build a third camp really soon that we're probably going to move our whole entire day camp operation too, because of its size. So I'm super happy. I'm super thankful for what we're able to do and how we're able to impact people's lives. If you have any questions about fundraising, again, podcast@crowderscamps.com. You can go back and listen to this as many times as you want to. There's no easy way to say start fundraising other than just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you like you mentioned so many times, you have to have somebody that's passionate to be over it. And also, too, I forgot to add this earlier, but you have to have somebody that's organized. Because if you're not organized, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. There's deadlines.
Yes. Yes.
Lots of deadlines. And sometimes you will find this amazing grant or whatever and then realize, oh, I can't even apply for it until next year
because
the granting cycle is over.
So you really got to have somebody that's organized and like, okay, this deadline's a year from now, like, and that they'll come back to that a year from now and remember.
So for all you executive directors listening out there, You might be saying, well, I just don't have that person. Well, I didn't either. And whenever I got the email from Miss Kayla saying, hey, I would like to come to Crowder's and be a part of what we're doing here, I stepped out in faith and said, I even gave her a very low salary to start off with. It wasn't too low, but it was semi low. And I was like, hey, everything you bring in, you get a small percentage of. And then now she's making almost twice as what she was when she started. And she's absolutely killing it. So it took me, I had to realize as the executive director, how important is this? Mm-hmm. And to me, it was extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the fruit of that now. Yeah. And just a small nugget here, we are getting ready to start a new program called Leadership Institute. And mm-hmm. God's just really put it on my heart. I want to see 25 young men that are fatherless mm-hmm. come and be a part of a one-day program here at Crowder's Camps. Mm-hmm. But to do that, I need a full team of people. Mm-hmm. I need mentors. I need somebody to go out and get mentors.
Yeah.
I need somebody that can run leadership challenges and teach these 25 fatherless boys and start this incredible mentor program called Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm. And all that is pretty much going to be, I think we figured out a budget for it would be about $80,000 a year mm-hmm. to run. That's 12 events. That's helping with Christmas presents, t-shirts, hiring a 30-something thousand-dollar a year full-time staff person to run it, mm-hmm. and just, you know, different costs here and there.
Yeah.
And we need to get that fully funded for it to start, because mm-hmm. it's a lot of connections with schools.
Yes.
A lot of connections with local churches. So you imagine your local church or your local school getting a information about it, and they see Tommy. They know Tommy's father passed away 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's a good kid, but just needs some mentoring in his life. We're going to talk to those kids about how to find jobs, how to pick careers, you know, how to do all those things, and about the gospel of Jesus Christ, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a huge life-changing opportunity for Leadership Institute that happens. Mm-hmm. So if you're hearing this, you can pray about this new adventure, and maybe it'll stir something in your heart. Maybe there's a new outreach program for you to jump into. But most things start by you walking in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how this we were so blessed with Caleb, because we stepped out in faith and said, hey, we want you to come and oversee this part for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done an incredible job. So good job, chick.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was the first episode in this season with a camp gal instead of camp guy. So I told you guys meant girls and guys when we first started this in this season. And now you have our first gal of the season.
Yes.
So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Remember, podcast@crowderscamps.com. Give us a yell. Let us know any questions you might have. And we would love to get back with you. So check you out next time on the podcast. God bless.